really is. You know, we accomplish so much in a short period of time, but the most important thing besides what happens between the lines is all the things that were accomplished away from the lines. Packing Madison Square Garden, getting the fan base back, getting the Subway alumni behind the team, marketing. So many things go into the building of a brand, building of a program, and we've accomplished it in a short period of time. Now it's sustaining it, which is the important thing.
Well, sustainability can be difficult in the current landscape of college basketball. How are you creating a culture that you want to keep guys want to stay around and want to represent something that's bigger than themselves?
You know, I spent 2 years in the EuroLeague in Greece, and pretty much it's sort of the same climate as we have now in college basketball. Everybody's on a one-year contract over there, 90% of them. You're looking in mid-season at other players that not only may leave, but ones that you can attract to your program. So we've been very fortunate. The ones that have left, it's been amicable. We agree with it, but most of them have stayed.
Yeah. When you talk about the packing Madison Square Garden and getting the alumni fired up, for you as a coach, what is it like when you start to get a following, as you see the seats start to fill greater and greater as the season's going on?
Well, for me, because I was the assistant coach of the Knicks, the head coach of the Knicks, head coach of Providence that played in the Big East, as head coach of Louisville that played in the Big East, won back-to-back championships, the last two before they broke up at Madison Square Garden. So for me, growing up 8 or 9 streets from Madison Square Garden, it is a special treat. Every time you walk on that garden floor, it means something to me.
We lost Coach Karnisecca recently, so you guys did so much to honor his legacy. What did he mean to you? What does he mean to the school? And what did he mean to college basketball as a whole?
Well, I've coached against Lou when I was at Providence. And really, he epitomizes what a coach should be, the way he acts on the sidelines, a fierce competitor, the way he is after the game, the way he is before the game, the way he carried himself, the way he dignified everything about St. John's. So Lou, Chris Mullen, Mark Jackson, all the great St. John's people, they epitomize really the legacy that Lou left behind. I'm a caretaker of that legacy. I won't be around nearly as long as Lou, but we celebrate Lou. We really celebrate his passing more than anything else. He got to almost 100, and he led a blessed life. He's someone, I think P.J. Kalissimos said it best, if you look at the word coach, Lou Karnisecca's face pops up.
Coaching has become very much a family business, and I grew up in the same industry as my dad, so I know what that's like. For you, to have your son follow your footsteps and go into coaching and live out his dream now, what's the level of pride that you take in that?
I have a great deal of pride for what he accomplished at New Mexico. It's going to be a little more difficult now. He came in with the New Mexico team at the Garden, and we won in a close game. But this one is more difficult because we're both fighting for not only an NCAA berth, to win the conference. He's in the conference now.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets difficult because you're not necessarily this year, because he's taking over a program just like I did, where he has to bring in 13 new players, nobody returning, basically. That's going to be very difficult on him. But at the second year, that's when it gets difficult. We're both competing to try and win a championship, and it'll split the family. My wife and I have been married for, I think, 48 years. I don't know if we'll get to 50 because she'll be rooting for him.
Well, Coach, welcome back. I appreciate your time. Good luck this season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.